Hello, this is Greg Strickland from Louisa Christian Church, and welcome to Real Faith Today. On behalf of our congregation, we hope that you are inspired by our music team and encouraged and challenged by today's message from our pastor, Vincent Klug.
So we're in James chapter 3, and he's writing this book to Christians, to believers throughout, to make sure that their faith is real. And if their faith is real, that they grow. And so he's going after specific things now in chapter 3. He's going after words. He's going after the power of the tongue. Let's take a look at James 3, 1 to 5. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers and sisters, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Let's just skip that verse. Seriously, though, that is a difficult verse. It creates some tension for us. Is James contradicting Paul again? Paul wrote in Romans 8:1, There is now therefore no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. There is no judgment for sin. There is no standing before God, making an account for what we, for the sins in our life, for our disobedience to the commandments. Jesus paid the price for us. Him who does not work but believes, his faith is counted as righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin, that we should become the righteousness of God. The Bible doesn't contradict itself, so what's going on here? There will be a judgment. We will be held accountable for what we do with our time. The greatest commodity we have, greater than money, greater than anything, is who we give our time to. And we will be held accountable for it. There will not be any penalty, but there will be an inventory, an analysis that is taken on our lives. How did we use our lives? There will be a judgment. And for preachers, for teachers, Bible study leaders, Sunday school teachers, he's saying, they better be careful. They better be careful. So we will be given an account. We will have to give an account for how we used our time. And Jesus said, to whom much has been given, much is expected. The more scripture you know, the more spiritual gifts you have, the more blessings you have, the more is required of us. The hard words of James, man. God inspired him to write this. Let's see what else he has to say here. We all stumble in many ways if anyone is never at fault in what he says. He's perfect, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The power of our words. He couldn't be more pointed. Think about what you say. Think about what you say. Pause before you say it. I mean, look what he wrote. We all stumble in many ways. What's he trying to say here? We're all going to stumble with our words. We're all going to say things we regret. Let's cut that to a minimum. Dana's been wonderful enough to cut our grass. We have a large yard, almost 2 acres, I think. And I'll try to go around with the push mower and get the small spots, and she'll ride the rider, which is, you know, pretty couple hours, hour and a half or something like that. And I was in the driveway working on something, and I saw her drive by, and, you know, we smiled at each other. And then I saw her. She's on a hill, going across a hill. Not down it, but going across it. And almost as if she couldn't control it, she just turned right into the flower bed and ran over this beautiful flower. And being the perfect pastor that I am, oh Lord, I said something. Did you ever say something? And the second you say it, you go, oh. Oh. I made her feel bad. I don't remember exactly what I said, but I could tell how far her countenance fell, how badly I made her feel. It turns out she had a flat tire. The power of words. Think about the power of words. It starts out Genesis chapter 1 in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. How did he create it? He spoke. He spoke reality to existence. And we're made in his image. We don't create our own realities. But our words are powerful. The words we say can crush children, especially our own children, in moments, little tiny moments that we could take for granted, little tiny moments. The regret that I have for things I've said. I remember when my oldest daughter we had company over, and she was showing something to us at the table, and I don't remember what she was spinning something around, and she lost control of it and put a hole in the wall. And I just had been an exhausting week at work and was behind, and none of the excuses matter. I said something, and I made her feel bad for it. It was an accident. I can't go back in history and change that. My brothers and sisters, how did we start off in James? Be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. What about gossiping? You know, talk about a way for a church to implode, not explode, implode from the inside out, is gossiping. It's so easy to do. It's so hard not to jump into it when someone else is doing it. Why is this such an issue in the church? It's so easy for us to complain. And there's a place for positive feedback. There's a place for venting and constructive criticism if there's love. If there's love as a motive. So difficult. One study I saw said that 80% of informal group interaction was complaining. 80% of group interaction was filled with complaining. You know, there's a drought in our land. There's a drought of encouragement. There's a drought of blessings. There's a drought because the church isn't having an impact on our culture, because we're too busy either fighting each other or whatever. I'm not talking about Louisa Christian Church specifically, just the church as a whole. We need to impact our culture. We need to take this sermon. We need to listen to James' words and wake up. It is time. This is the time. Point one, children of the King know the danger of words. Children of the King know the power of words. That's what James is trying to say. The rudder, the spark. They're so small. We think it's such a small deal, but it's huge. It's a big deal. The bit in the horse's mouth, how powerful is a horse? A little bit is all it takes. James wants to make sure we know. As verse 6 says, the tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body.
It corrupts
the whole body,
sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Does the scriptures this morning have your attention yet? Set your own life on fire. Your own words are killing you. Are you miserable? Are you exhausted? Are you discouraged? Are you still living with voices from the past that are saying, I'm not enough. I am not a man enough. I am not smart enough. I am not beautiful enough. I am not thin enough. Whatever. The words we tell ourselves is destroying us. They're like a spark that causes the fire. And James says, make no doubt about it. They're set on fire by hell. This is not, there's not a gray area here. When our words are negative and in complaining and gossiping, there is a spiritual war going on, and that's the enemy's tactic. Let us implode from the inside. Point two, children of the king know the source of words. Verses 7 to 12 of James 3. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being, no one, can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. It's talking about my tongue and yours. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in the God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt spring produce fresh water. Here he goes back to his theme he's had in the previous chapter. Don't be deceived. If you come to church or sit at home and you have your Christian playlist and your worship music playing, and or you come to church and you sing hymns and you do the responsive reading and you praise the Lord, and then you curse your brothers and sisters, you curse other people, you bring negativity into their lives. Don't be deceived. You're not deceiving anybody. You're not deceiving God. Jesus said in Matthew 15, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. God doesn't want us playing church. He wants it real. Are you awake yet? He wants it real. Verse 13 to 16. So James writes, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitterness, envy, and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you have disorder and every evil practice. Children of the king know the source of words. They come from two places. They can come from two places. They either come from hell and demons, James is saying, or they come from above. There's no middle ground. This message, this preparing this text, is convicting me to really watch, to really be careful. My vocal cords can connect all the way down to hell. And you know, Paul talked about this source that makes us speak things into other people's lives, speak negativity, speak criticism. Paul calls it the sinful nature. And we all have one. So whether you've been a Christian for 40 or 50 years or 1 year or 1 month, we all have a sinful nature. Paul is talking here to mature Christians, people who want to be teachers, right? They want to teach other people what they know. He's saying, be slow to do this. Be slow to do this. When you judge other people, you are heaping judgment upon yourself. There will be a time when there will be an inventory made on your life. Not your sin, but how you used your time and what words you spoke and what words I spoke. And you know, when I said those words to Dana, or when I said those words to my daughter, I felt it. I felt the judgment on myself. I knew I was hurting myself. We must know the source, you know. With gardens and being so fruitful right now, my son-in-law, we like to make salsa. So we made a big batch of salsa, and we made a special batch for Dana because she hates hot food. She has a reaction in her skin, and she tears up, and it just really affects her. So before she eats that salsa, because we put them in like old jars from other things, right? Old salsa jars or whatever jar we have saved. And she'll say, which one is this? You know, is this the one with hot sauce in it? Is this the one with hot peppers in it? She wants to know the source. She doesn't want her mouth to burn and her eyes to burn. Brothers, make sure you know the source of your words. There's two places. Yeah, this is a big deal. This is for us. This is a big deal. Know where it's coming from. You have a sinful nature, and as we're going to see, we have a new nature. Point three, children of the King use words to renew. Only God creates, but we can bring renewal. Our words come out of us, and they affirm what's inside. So if we say something negative, if we complain, if we judge, when we say it out loud, we're actually strengthening that part of us that is connected to what's evil. When we don't listen to those words and we say, no, I'm going to choose to respond to a curse with a blessing. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to offer grace. I'm going to build up and encourage. Then something happens to us, see? We bring renewal. Our words are used to hurt. Our own words are used to hurt us, not just other people, us too, or change us. When we speak thankfulness, it changes us. When we speak a blessing to someone, when we say a prayer for someone. Children of the King use words to renew. 17 to 19, this will wrap up the chapter. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. Nothing's added to it. God, right? God brings what's pure. It's peace-loving, so it loves peace. It's considerate. It's submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Who's James talking about? Who's pure, loves peace, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, full of good fruit, impartial and sincere? Perfectly pure. Did you say it? Say it out loud. Jesus. Jesus spoke perfectly. Jesus confronted perfectly. Jesus challenged perfectly. Jesus forgave perfectly. Jesus convicted perfectly. Jesus loved perfectly. We can tap into that. We've been made in God's image, and now we've been given a new nature powered by the Holy Spirit. We can be like Jesus more and more. He's not just let go of people and needing to control situations or control people, the very things that drain all your energy. This is the real you. This is becoming more you. This is your real identity. Paul says, I don't do the things I want to do. I do the things that I hate, but it's not me. It's the sin living in me. See, Paul and James complement each other. This is who you are. Children of the King know the danger of words, the power of words. Children of the King know the source of words. Really important points here. And children of the King use words to bring renewal. Paul says, be transformed by renewing your mind. Know these words. If you read it, if you take it in, if you listen to other sermons, if you hear scripture through songs and worship, sing it, talk about it. The Word of God is what changes us. The other words, words that destroy, they squash us. They squash other people. This power to have words that renew, this power to be transformed so that you don't live with regret, that you don't destroy your relationships, that you actually, like, people are attracted to you, they want to be around you, it's yours. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus our Lord, the one who heard discouraging words, the one who dealt with disbelief from his own disciples, the one who knew what he'd have to do to reach us. We come to you in his name. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, I ask that you just pray this prayer with me real quick. Gracious Lord, I'm a sinner. I know that I hurt people. I hurt myself. I don't understand all of this, but I want more of you in my life. I accept the grace, the forgiveness,
that you offer freely through the cross of Jesus Christ is a free gift. Nothing that I could ever do except trust in you. Help me, Lord, to know what it means to have a relationship with you and to make you the Lord of my life. Help me to know what it means to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit to be more like Jesus. And if you've been a Christian for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, and you want more of Jesus in your life, this prayer is for you. Gracious Lord, as I'm listening to this radio program or this video, Lord, I'm stung by the Holy Spirit. God, you're speaking to me. Let me hear you more clearly. Let me hesitate when I'm provoked, when I'm triggered. Help me to wait and pray for help. Help me to be slow to speak. Help me to be humble enough to know that there is a power in me that could burn down my life and all my relationships. That sinful nature in me. But there's a greater power in me, a greater power. I pray that you would teach me to tap into that power through your scriptures, through fellowship, to leaning into one another and encouraging one another. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
On behalf of Louisa Christian Church, we hope that joining in on our worship service inspired you and brought you closer to God. We thank our sponsors for today's broadcast, and we thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. Special thanks to Butch and Sharon Duke, Derek and Sarah Waller, Catherine Neese, Mike Clevenger, and Dana Clue for inspiring us through their music. If you would like to find out more about Louisa Christian Church, or attend one of our worship services, or even sign up to receive our newsletter, please visit our website at louisachristianchurch.org. That's louisachristianchurch.org. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, Amen.